Welcome to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, don't forget that our convention, conference, whatever you want to call it, is coming up August 1st through the 5th. If you have not got your registration fee in yet, get it in now. We're down to the wire. It is important that we know exactly who's coming and how many, so that we can make sure that you have a space here and don't wait till the last minute, because if we get too many, we're going to have to turn some people away. This is a big facility, but it will only hold so many people. First through the 5th of August. For CAGI members, our intelligence service members, the registration fee is $100. For intelligence service members who have a family membership who wish to bring their family, the registration fee is $150 for the entire family. Any of you can bring any of your children that you want to. You're going to have to keep them quiet and disciplined on your own, however, because we don't have any babysitting or child care facilities here. Anyone under the age of 17 can come free, whether you have family membership or not. Doesn't make any difference. Anybody 17 or above must pay, either as a single registrant or as a member of a family of an intelligence service member who has family membership. Anybody who doesn't fit those categories, $250 per person. That includes all lectures, all events, all materials, everything, ladies and gentlemen, except transportation, food, and lodging. I want to make sure that you all have pen and paper by your side. Tonight is going to be an important broadcast. We continue, and you're not going to make the connection right away, but it is a part of what we began as the series on Malathion. Don't go away. Don't miss one single word of tonight's broadcast. The years of World War II produced an event, ladies and gentlemen, that scared the ruling elite much more than Herr Hitler ever dreamed of doing. What was it? What happened that scared the men and women, the powerful rich families who rule the world from behind the scenes? All during the war, men were gone from their homes. Some didn't return. Some lasted through the war. Some returned wounded. Some returned whole, healthy, looking for a future. And in this country, a future was the great American dream. You married Susie, the local cheerleader. You had three children. You went to work for a local businessman. If you were lucky, you started your own business and hired other returning soldiers. You purchased a home. You purchased a car. You purchased a radio. And in those years, ladies and gentlemen, if you could do those things, you had fulfilled what every American dreamed of. You became a part of the middle class. You became a contributor to your community. You were looked up to by other people as long as you maintained your honesty and integrity. And in those days, most people did. What was it that caused such consternation in the secret circles of power? Following World War II, something happened that was to have tremendous significance for the future of all mankind. The intellectuals took note of this happening and brought it to the attention of the world power elite. The elite were severely shaken by the predicted repercussions of this event, and they were told by the sociologists, the scientists, that by or shortly after the year 2000, the total collapse of civilization as we know it could and might occur. They said it could occur, that is, if we did not destroy the earth with nuclear weapons before that time. And the power elite were told that the only things that could stop these predicted events would be severe cutbacks of the human population, the cessation or retardation of technological and economic growth, the elimination of meat in the human diet, strict control of future human reproduction, a total commitment to preserving the environment, colonization of space, and something that's bannered about, very few people even understand what it means, a paradigm shift in the evolutionary consciousness of man. Whether you believe these things are true or not, you had better listen. Because you see, I've learned in my life, it makes no difference whether you or I believe these things to be true or believe them to be hoaxes or scams or whatever. If the power elite believe them, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you it will affect us. So we must understand what is happening. We must understand what they believe. We must understand that if they don't believe it and they're promoting it, that there is an agenda that is being furthered that will further their interests, whether it furthers ours or not. When they learned these things, those in power immediately formed an alliance and set about bringing the recommended changes to fruition through propaganda, mind control, and other manipulations of the masses. The Illuminati's prayers, ladies and gentlemen, had been answered. What was the event that caused all of this consternation and changed forever the future of the world? It's very simple. Most of you have overlooked it. Most of you have never given it another thought. You pay it lip service. Millions of soldiers returned from war. All around the world, they went home. They went home. These soldiers found lonely, eager women waiting for them. The greatest coupling in the history of the human race occurred, and the result was everyone born all during that period in history, well up into the 50s. and the children that they would eventually produce. You see, it was me and you and everyone who lives today. It was the great worldwide baby boom. It was the culmination of all man's efforts to survive throughout history, and it made no difference how many were killed during World War II. The number of births during and after World War II very quickly made up for the deaths. It was modern medicine, better diets, heat in winter, pure running water, and proper disposal of sewage. It was the point in history when the birth rate so exceeded the death rate that the world's population doubled between 1957 and 1990. It was the most wonderful time in the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone who remembers those golden years, remember it with a smile. But it was also the worst in some ways. It signaled the end of man's most precious achievement, for an alliance of all of the powers on earth, open and hidden, had decided that individual freedoms could no longer be tolerated in the interest of the preservation of the human race. They believed the common man could not be trusted to do the right thing. Now, I can hear all the arguments now.
You could take every single man and woman and child on this earth and put them in the state of Oregon, and there'd be plenty of room for everybody.
Yeah, you could take every man, woman, and child on this earth and put them within the borders of the state of Oregon, and they would all have a little plot of ground to squat on. But there would not be room for everybody, nor would there be room for their trash, or their sewage, or their urine, nor would there be plentiful food to feed them with, nor could you truck or move by rail or by air enough food on a daily basis to feed them all. Some of the arguments I hear on a daily basis are so foolhardy that it's absolutely unbelievable that it comes from men and women who pretend to have brains. And that's not the problem anyway, ladies and gentlemen. The real problem with the ruling elite is that large populations are difficult to rule. Large populations are difficult to control. Large populations are difficult to feed. Large populations are difficult to create work for, so that they can have the money necessary to keep them happy so they do not revolt. Population to the elite is a problem of rulership. It is a problem of maintaining order. It is a problem of natural disasters instead of killing five or six people, killing tens of thousands. And that is what really frightened these men and women who walk the shadowy halls of power. But some of them became ecstatic with this news, for what had been the unfulfilled dream of many individual groups became reality by the concentration of power in the alliance known as the Bilderberg Group. What had been impossible before was now promised. The new world order that so many had envisioned was now a certainty. For it brought about an alliance of all who had opposed each other. They agree upon one thing, and even if that is the only thing that they agree upon at this present time, it is the only important thing that they agree upon, and that is they must have world government. World government. So an alliance was formed amongst all of those who had traditionally opposed each other. And as the New World Order becomes a reality, the only question that will remain to be answered will be who, what power group will rule. The first study of population was made during World War II to determine the impact of the returning soldiers upon the economy. The results mobilized the ruling elite. A second secret study was conducted in 1957 by scientists meeting in Huntsville, Alabama. It confirmed the results of the first. The conclusion was that civilization as we know it could collapse shortly after the year 2000 unless the population was seriously curtailed. The study expressed a concern that since atomic weapons existed, they would ultimately be used. Total worldwide disarmament was urged. Harry Truman proposed and Congress adopted the disarmament plan and created the United States Disarmament Agency. President Dwight David Eisenhower said this in 1957, and I quote, "As a result of lowered infant mortality, longer lives, and the accelerating conquest of famine, there is underway a population explosion so incredibly great that in little more than another generation, the population of the world is expected to double." End quote. A third study was made by the Club of Rome, ending in 1968, to determine the limits to growth. The result was the same. The Club of Rome was commissioned to develop a computer model of the world so as to predict the outcome of corrections made to social and economic structures by the elect. The Club of Rome was also asked to develop a computer model of a new world order, and both tasks were accomplished. Studies were done to determine a method to arrest the population explosion before the point of no return would be reached. It was determined that an immediate attack on the problem would involve two points of intervention. The first, ladies and gentlemen, was to lower the birth rate, and the second was to increase the death rate. To lower the birth rate, several programs were put into motion. The first was the development of positive birth control methods using mechanical, diaphragm and condom, chemical, foam and birth control pills, and medical, sterilization, abortion, and hysterectomy procedures. And this is the real reason why so many women in the last 40 years have been given unneeded hysterectomies by doctors belonging to the shadowy group known as the Illuminati and the furtherance of population reduction. All of these methods were developed and all of them were implemented. The women's liberation movement was started with the demand for free abortions using pro-choice as its rallying cry. Homosexuality was encouraged and gay liberation was born. You see, homosexuals do not have children. Zero population growth became a hot subject at cocktail parties, and most of you who are my age will remember it. Individual freedom, the heat of the moment, religion, and the old blue laws sabotaged these efforts, and while zero population growth became a reality in some areas, population increased rapidly in others, mainly in groups that belong to the Catholic Church, large segments of the Hispanic population, poor people, minority blacks, people who traditionally produced children in order that they might go out and contribute something to the income, rural families who look at children as laborers in agriculture and therefore produce large families. The only alternative left to the world's ruling elite, ladies and gentlemen, was to increase the death rate, since decreasing the birth rate obviously had not worked, except with educated middle and upper middle class Caucasian families. Now, increasing the death rate was a difficult thing to do, as no one wanted to pick people out of a crowd and line them up for execution. Neither did they relish the possible consequences of an enraged public upon discovering that they were being systematically murdered. Of course, a very short but very deadly global war using nuclear weapons upon select population concentrations was contemplated. And to tell you the truth, has not been ruled out. The fact that such a population control was even contemplated confirmed the worst fears of those who had participated in the 1957 study, citing this possibility as being one of the worst for the future of man. Thanks to cooler heads, war was put on the back burner to simmer, but may become a reality. In its stead, surrogate wars between the world's major powers, fought in third world countries, made to look like they were necessary and patriotic, have been carried out since World War II to reduce populations in third world nations and to cull from the youth of the major military powers those most likely to produce many children, young men between the ages of 18 and 26. In the meantime, something else had to be done that would absolve the decision makers of any guilt and place the blame on those who did not lead clean lives. And you'll notice that AIDS attacks people who do not lead clean lives. Something that could be blamed upon Mother Nature. What was needed, what was cited, what was prayed for was the bubonic plague or some other horrible but natural disease. The answer, ultimately, as it has for centuries, came from Rome. Several top secret recommendations were made by Dr. Aurelio Pacei of the Club of Rome. He advocated that a plague be introduced that would have the same effect as the famous Black Death of history. The chief recommendation was to develop a microbe which would attack the autoimmune system and thus render the development of a vaccine impossible. The orders were given to develop this microbe and to develop a prophylactic and a cure. The microbe would be used against the general population and would be introduced by vaccine. The prophylactic was to be used by the ruling elite. The cure, ladies and gentlemen, will be administered to the survivors when it is decided that enough people have died. The cure will be announced as newly developed when in fact it has existed from the beginning. This plan is a classified part of Global 2000. The prophylactic and the cure are suppressed as a part of the cure. It is hoped that a mandatory vaccination or inoculation program concurrent with the implantation of a small transponder in each human being upon this earth can be accomplished. Quote, I quote, "Man has skyrocketed from a defensive position, largely subordinated to nature's alternatives, to a new and dominant one. From it, he not only can and does influence everything in the world, but voluntarily or unwittingly can and indeed does determine the alternatives of his own future and ultimately must choose his options for it. In other words, his novel power condition practically compels him to take up new regulatory functions that willy-nilly he has had to discharge with respect to the world's mixed natural human systems. Having penetrated a number of the erstwhile mysteries and being able to sway events massively, he is now vested with unprecedented, tremendous responsibilities and thrown into the new role of moderator of life on the planet, including his own." End quote. These words were written by Dr. Aurelio Pacei and are taken verbatim from page 607 of the Global 2000 Report to the President, which Jimmy Carter signed during his administration. Funding was obtained from the United States Congress under HB 15090 in 1969, where $10 million was given to the Department of Defense's 1970 budget. Testimony before the Senate committee revealed that they intended to produce, and I quote, a synthetic biological agent, an agent that does not naturally exist and for which no natural immunity could have been acquired. Within the next 5 to 10 years, it would probably be possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organisms. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease, end quote. Sir Julian Huxley said, and I quote, overpopulation is, in my opinion, the most serious threat to the whole future of our species, end quote. The project, called MK Naomi, was carried out at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Since large populations were to be decimated, the ruling elite decided to target, quote, undesirable, end quote, elements of society. Specifically targeted were the black, Hispanic, and homosexual populations. The poor homosexuals were encouraged on the one hand and scheduled for extinction on the other. The African continent, ladies and gentlemen, was infected via smallpox vaccine in 1977. The vaccine was administered by the World Health Organization. According to Dr. Robert Strecker, he said this, quote, without a cure, the entire black population of Africa will be dead within 15 years. Some countries are well beyond academic status, end quote. It doesn't look like his prediction is coming true. But there is an unbelievable number of AIDS-infected blacks on the continent of Africa to the point where entire villages have been decimated and now stand empty. The United States population was infected in 1978 with the hepatitis B vaccine. Dr. Wolf Smoothness, the ex-roommate of now Pope John Paul II, was the mastermind behind the November 78 to October 79 and March 80 to October 81 experimental hepatitis B vaccine trials conducted by the Centers for Disease Control in New York City, San Francisco, and four other American cities. He loosed the plague of AIDS upon the American people. The gay population was infected. The ads for participants specifically asked for promiscuous homosexual male volunteers in local gay community, usually free papers, whatever causes AIDS, ladies and gentlemen, and I have never known exactly what it is. And 4 years ago in my book, I said exactly this, and I quote, whatever causes AIDS was in that vaccine, end quote. The vaccine was manufactured and bottled in Phoenix, Arizona. The order was given by the Policy Committee of the Bilderberg Group, a 13-man committee based in Switzerland. And other measures were also ordered. Now, there's one you will be able to check the easiest, and that is the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, which we will begin to reveal to you right after this short break. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you Monday through Friday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on satellite Galaxy 3, channel 17, 5.8 wideband audio, and WWCR Worldwide Christian Radio, 5.810 on your shortwave dial. Swiss America Trading specializes in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets, the only assets in the history of the world that have held their value. Now, I'm not telling you that by investing with Swiss America Trading, you're going to make a big killing. If you're lucky and you understand precious metals, you might make some money. But that's not why I recommend their services. You see, today you can buy the same number of loaves of bread with 1 ounce of silver that you could buy in 1850. And today you can buy the same number of bushels of wheat with 1 ounce of gold coin that you could in 1860. It is a commodity. It is real. It is needed. It has intrinsic worth. Its value changes as the value of paper currency changes. And the change in the value of gold and silver reflects the worth of the paper. If gold and silver goes up, the value of the paper is going down. If gold and silver goes down, the confidence in the paper is going up, thus the value in the paper. Now, I can remember not too long ago when I purchased 1 ounce silver rounds from Swiss America Trading, from Gene Miller, as a matter of fact, for $4 each. The price is now over $5, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you can think, you understand exactly what I'm telling you. Call our sponsors. If you realize real worth from this program, I hope that you will deal with them. But no matter who you deal with, ladies and gentlemen, you must make preparations to protect yourself financially against what is happening and what is coming in the future. Every day, the value of your paper currency, and thus anything that you hold, shrinks. Call Swiss America Trading. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Look around at your loved ones. If you cannot assure them right this moment that you have taken positive steps to ensure their survival against an economic collapse, then you must make this call. Do it. You'll sleep better at night. A great weight will be lifted from your shoulders. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. Thank you. Craig Kissinger depopulation policy is administered by the State Department. This policy, ladies and gentlemen, dictates that third world nations take positive and effective steps to decrease their populations and hold them in check, or they will get no aid from the United States. If the third world nations refuse, civil war usually breaks out, and the rebels are usually found to be trained, armed, and financed by the Central Intelligence Agency. That is why many more civilians, especially young, fertile females, than soldiers, have been killed in places like El Salvador, Nicaragua, and others. These wars have been instigated in Catholic countries by Jesuits. Under the liberation theology. You'll remember that several Jesuit priests were killed in Central America. And the world raised a hue and cry. How can you kill priests? These priests were engaged in actively and openly promoting civil war, ladies and gentlemen. Liberation theology is a Marxist philosophy. The Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy has taken over various levels of government and is, in fact, determining United States foreign policy. The planning organization operates outside the White House and directs its entire efforts to reduce the world's population by 2 billion people through war, famine, disease, and any other means deemed necessary. This group is the National Security Council's ad hoc group on population policy. The policy planning staff is in the State Department's Office of Population Affairs, established in 1975 by Henry Kissinger. This same group drafted the Global 2000 report to the president that was given to Carter. Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer for the State Department's Office of Population Affairs, or OPA, made the following statements. Quote, "There is a single theme behind all our work. We must reduce population levels. Either they do it our way, through nice clean methods, or they will get the kind of mess that we have in El Salvador, or in Iran, or in Beirut. Population is a political problem. The Shah of Iran was deposed with the help of the Central Intelligence Agency, ladies and gentlemen, because he was improving affairs in his country to the state where people were multiplying like rabbits. Everyone had a job. Everyone had security. Everyone had food. Everyone had everything except birth control. Did you really believe that the Central Intelligence Agency had no idea that there was going to be an uprising against the Shah? The CIA built the Shah. They put him in place. The Shah's intelligence organization was an extension of the Central Intelligence Agency. Do you really believe the Ayatollah Khomeini was sheltered in France and was able to put together the plans to bring down this powerful Shah who had one of the most powerful military forces and air forces on the face of this earth without help from the real power? Population, ladies and gentlemen, is a political problem, for it has been decided by the ruling elite that large populations are not to be allowed, for they are difficult to rule. It has nothing to do with how much ground they stand upon, as you all seem to banty about. I heard Rush Limbaugh one day espouse the everybody in the world standing in Oregon reputation of population control as a necessary political policy. One of these days you'll wise up. I don't know when, but one of these days you will. You see, once population is out of control, it requires authoritarian government, even fascism, to reduce it. Throughout the history of the world, the political resolution for the population problem has always been warfare. You really didn't believe that war happened every 20 years just like clockwork by accident, did you? Or did you? The professionals, stated Ferguson, aren't interested in lowering population for humanitarian reasons. That sounds nice. We look at resources and environmental constraints. We look at our strategic needs and we say that this country must lower its population or else we will have trouble. So steps are taken. El Salvador is an example where our failure to lower population by simple means has created the basis for a national security crisis. Are you listening, sheeple? The government of El Salvador failed to use our programs to lower their population. Now they get a civil war because of it. There will be dislocation and food shortages. They still have too many people there. Civil wars are somewhat drawn out ways to reduce population. The quickest way to reduce population is through famine, like in Africa, or through disease, like the Black Death, all of which might occur in El Salvador. His budget, ladies and gentlemen, for fiscal year 1980 was $190 million for population control. For fiscal year 1981, it was $220 million, reflecting concern. The Global 2000 report calls for doubling that figure. Henry Kissinger created this group after discussion with leaders of the Club of Rome during the 1974 population conferences in Bucharest and Rome. The Club of Rome is controlled by Europe's black nobility. Alexander Haig is a firm believer in population control, for it was Haig that backed Kissinger and pushed the OPA into action. Ferguson also said, quote, "We will go into a country and say, here is your blankety-blank development plan. Throw it out the window. Start looking at the size of your population and figure out what must be done to reduce it. If you don't like that, if you don't want to choose to do it through planning, then you'll have an El Salvador or an Iran or worse, a Cambodia," end quote. As I told you, the real reason the Shah of Iran was overthrown was that his best efforts to institute clean programs of birth control failed to make even a significant dent in the country's birth rate. The promise of jobs through an ambitious industrialization program encouraged migration toward overcrowded cities like Tehran. Under Ayatollah Khomeini, the clean programs have been dismantled. The government may make progress because it has a program to induce up to half of Tehran's 6 million residents to relocate. Iran's war with Iraq really pleased the OPA. Now you know. Marcos fell victim to the same policy. Daniel B. Luton had this to say, quote, "An organization cannot have a conservation policy without having a population policy. You see, the sanity test in which the candidate confronted with an overflowing sink is classified according to whether he reaches for the mop or for the faucet," end quote. Thousands of people, ladies and gentlemen, mostly civilians, were killed in El Salvador's civil war every year. Quote, "To accomplish what the State Department deems adequate population control, the civil war would have to be greatly expanded," according to Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer for the OPA. El Salvador was targeted for population control and war in an April 1980 population report published by the National Security Council. Quote, "El Salvador is an example of a country with serious population and political problems," end quote, the report states. And it continues, quote, "Rapid population growth, the birth rate has remained unchanged in recent years, aggravates its population density, which is already the highest on mainland Latin America. While a population program exists on paper, it has not been pursued with a strong commitment, and contraceptives remain unavailable. The population program really did not work, OPA's Ferguson said. The infrastructure was not there to support it. There were just too many blankety-blank people. If you want to control a country, you have to keep the population down. Too many people breed social unrest and political problems. Something had to be done, the OPA official said. The birth rate was 3.3%, one of the highest in the world. Its population, he complained, will double in 21 years. The Civil War can help things, but it would have to be greatly expanded. End quote. In making sure that the population falls in El Salvador, Ferguson said, the OPA has learned a lot from its experiences in Vietnam. We studied the thing. That area was also overpopulated and a problem. We thought that the war would lower population, and we were wrong. Now you know what we were really doing in Vietnam and why we were not allowed to win. According to Ferguson, the population in Vietnam increased during the war despite United States' use of defoliation and a combat strategy that encouraged civilian casualties. And now you know why those of us in the know consider Lieutenant Calley to be a scapegoat. You see, I fought in that war. I know what happened there. I know what orders were given. To reduce population quickly, said Ferguson, you have to pull all the males into the fighting and kill significant numbers of fertile childbearing age females. He criticized the current civil war in El Salvador. Quote, you are killing a small number of males and not enough fertile females to do the job on the population. If the war went on 30 to 40 years like this, then you might accomplish something. Unfortunately, we don't have too many instances like that to study, end quote. To aid you, the listener, in your research of this travesty, the names of the significant reports are The Population Bomb by Dr. Paul R. Ehrlich. His wife, Anne, is a member of the Club of Rome. The Global 2000 Report to the President and The Limits to Growth, a report for the Club of Rome's Project on the Predicament of Mankind. In April 1968, the study began publicly in the Accademia dei Lincei in Rome, Italy. The study had been ongoing in secret ever since the initial findings of the Huntsville meeting in 1957. They met at the instigation of Dr. Aurelio Pacelli. The first real public indication of their findings and the solution that had been decided upon was publication of the book entitled The Population Bomb, in May of 1968. Notice how close the dates are. On page 17 of The Population Bomb, a telling paragraph reveals all there is to know to anyone who has a brain and can use it to think. And I quote, in summary, the world's population will continue to grow as long as the birth rate exceeds the death rate. It's as simple as that. When it stops growing or starts to shrink, it will mean that either the birth rate has gone down or the death rate has gone up, or a combination of the two. Basically, then, there are only two kinds of solutions to the population problem. One is a birth rate solution, in which we find ways to lower the birth rate. The other is a death rate solution, in which ways to raise the death rate, war, famine, pestilence, find us. The problem could have been avoided by population control, in which mankind consciously adjusted the birth rate so that a death rate solution did not have to occur, end quote. The recommendations of the results of the study were made by Dr. Aurelio Pacelli, who pledged not to use the prophylactic and not to take the cure, should the microbe be developed and should he contract the disease. Dr. Pacelli was considered a hero by the ruling elite for deciding to take the same risk as the general population. The public results of the study were published in 1968 and again in 1972. The MIT, our Massachusetts Institute of Technology project team members, have developed the computer model study are listed below. Dr. Dennis L. Meadows, Director, United States. Dr. Allison A. Anderson, United States, Pollution. Dr. J. M. Anderson, United States, Pollution. Ilyas Bayer, Turkey, Agriculture. William W. Behrens III, United States, Resources. Farhad Hakimzada, Iran, Population. Dr. Stephen Harbort, Germany, Socio-Political Trends. Judith A. Machen, United States, Administration. Dr. Donella H. Meadows, United States, Population. Peter Milling, Germany, Capital. Nirmala S. Murphy, India, Population. That's Murphy. Nirmala S. Murphy, India, Population. Roger F. Nail, United States, Resources. Jorgen Randers, Norway, Population. Stephen Chances, United States, Agriculture. John A. Seeger, United States, Administration. Marilyn Williams, United States, Documentation. Dr. Eric K. Ozan, Germany, Agriculture. When this study was completed in 1969, United Nations Secretary General U Thant of the United Nations made this statement, and you had better listen very closely. Quote, "I do not wish to seem overdramatic, but I can only conclude from the information that is available to me as Secretary General that the members of the United Nations have perhaps 10 years left in which to subordinate their ancient quarrels and launch a global partnership to curb the arms race, to defuse the population explosion, and to supply the required momentum to development efforts. If such a global partnership is not forged within the next decade, then I very much fear that the problems I have mentioned will have reached such staggering proportions that they will be beyond our capacity to control." End quote. MK Naomi was developed by the Special Operations Division, SOD scientists at Fort Detrick, Maryland, under the supervision of the Central Intelligence Agency. A reference to the project MK Naomi can be found in The Intelligence Community by Fain et al., published by Bowker in 1977. Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz was a member of the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense. He was the commander of U.S. Special Forces in Latin America. He was the commander of Operation Watchtower, which was the security umbrella for the drug planes coming into the United States. The principal agent for the National Security Council's Super Secret Intelligence Support Activity, or ISA, which hatched the illegal groups known as Yellow Fruit and Sea Spray, and the Congressional Relations Chief for the Pentagon. Lieutenant Colonel Greitz claims he didn't know of any illegalities in the military or in government until he was told by a drug lord in a third world nation. You may be that easily duped, ladies and gentlemen, but I am not. And if you're smart, you will never put your life in his hands. Lowell Sumner expressed his view, quote, "As a biologist, the human population explosion and its declining spiral of natural resources is to me the greatest threat of all. The time is ripe, even dangerously overripe, as far as the population control problem is concerned. We shall have to face up or ultimately perish. And what a dreary, stupid, unlovely way to perish on a ruined globe stripped of its primeval beauty." End quote. Whether you believe that these problems are real or not makes no difference if the people who have the power believe it, or if they choose to throw to the world the appearance that they believe it. Their beliefs are motivated and pushed into operation by their power, and it will affect you. Many other population controls have been promulgated, and the world's population reduction to workable levels has been virtually assured, ladies and gentlemen. It is only a matter of time. And those in the Illuminati who own large chemical companies falsify reports to convince local authorities to use deadly chemicals for mosquito control. I bet you were wondering how this affected our series on Malathion. We have many more hours to go, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's program was taken verbatim from Chapter 9 of my book, Behold a Pale Horse, which was published 4 years ago. Everything that is coming out now, and much that has never emerged, was printed in my book 4 years ago. And when I first put this book out on the market, I was called a kooky, wacko, conspiracy freak, insane nut. Good night, folks. Sleep well, and God bless you all. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with the beasts of the earth. The Holy Bible, King James Version, the Book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 8.